legislation specifically protecting queers on the sex offender registry is fantastic. Your policy on the genocide in Gaza is terrible. I think you do not belong here. I think you do not belong here. You do not belong here, Scott, anymore. It sucks because you've been wonderful. You've been wonderful for trans people.
Welcome to the show, everybody. It's July, so you know what that means. Gay Pride is over. Not that that would keep me from criticizing the gays, but there wasn't as much gayness afoot, let's say. I feel like being gay is going out of style. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was really cool in the 80s and the 90s when there was like still maybe a chance you could get beat up for putting your junk in another man's butt. But now it's like being gay is gay. Like, it's weak. It's always been weak, but you know, you guys know what I'm saying. So I just think people are over it. However, that didn't stop the perverts from being out of control. Since it's Gay Pride Month, let's start with a bit of Gay Pride news. Pete Buttigieg's kids were apparently taken from him after he was swatted when a supposed CPS call went in claiming that he was abusing his children. Apparently, he's adopted 2 4-year-old African twins. I couldn't verify their race. Not that it matters. Whatever race you are, you still don't deserve to be adopted by a gay couple who's using you as a political prop that they can fundraise money off of and garner sympathy. Pete Buttigieg was so unconvincingly gay that they put him in the head of the Department of Transportation, and that was the year we had that crazy train derailment. Do you guys remember that? Let's refresh your memory.
Look, rail safety is something that that has evolved a lot over the years, but there's clearly more that needs to be done, because while this horrible situation has gotten a particularly high amount of attention, there are roughly 1,000 cases a year of a train derailing.
Notice that Pete Buttigieg looks like one of the characters from Mr. Grinch, you know, the Who. I mean, look at that upturned schnoz there, huh, everybody? This guy was our Department of Transportation. Let's check in on what's going on with old Pete Buttigieg, right? He was, he made a whole sad video. He's trying to grow a beard to look a little more masculine. It's not going to work because you're getting rammed in the ass. By the way, if you want to see the total uncensored content of this, like you want to see the total uncensored episode, just go to my website and go to leonardaisfunny.com and get a premium membership. You can use my promo code Leo and get 20% off. Seriously, super easy. And then you can see all the swearing. You can see, I'm going to show you guys some gay pride parades. You can see the full-on nudity that we got to censor here for YouTube. But you can see what they're showing the kids if you go on my website. You can't see it on YouTube. You could see it if you go out on the street, or if you pretended to be a 5-year-old boy, they would show it to you. Here he is. He's talking about what happened. Also, Hillary Clinton made a statement about how sad this was. I'm sure Hillary Clinton is just super concerned about children. She seems like, you know, real maternal kind of figure.
I was here in my study and noticed that there was a police officer and a CPS worker at the door. Showed him in, asked what was going on, and they started talking about this allegation. They couldn't tell me what the allegation was, and then they told me that I couldn't be around my children unsupervised until my children were interviewed.
You should never be allowed to be around children unsupervised. If this was a sane world where we still believed in God and had morals, this man would be locked up in an institution at best, and at worst, I can't say it. Okay? I can't say it. But there's so many of these stories that are coming out about gay couples adopting kids or having them via surrogate, and then they end up abusing the kids to death. yeah, doing horrible things. I can't say it on YouTube once again, but there was, you know, the first gay dad surrogate in Britain was recently arrested for essaying to the children that he adopted. And everybody was like, oh, how could this happen? If only we had known that these men who have gross perversions when it comes to their human sexuality couldn't be trusted around vulnerable, innocent children that have no way to defend themselves against it. If only we had known. Let's go. Here's what's interesting though, right? We don't need to listen to Pete lie because he lies. I don't even know what's going on with them. They could be lying. Whether he was even had CPS call, because the whole thing's weird. There was no court order. They took the kids from him for a day before they could be questioned. They had to go stay with their grandparents. I wonder how Pete Buttigieg's parents feel. They have to know. Like, you have to know. Like, if your son is a PDF, like, You know, but you can't say anything because he's in the government and he might have you killed. So when the CPS calls you and says, could you take his kids? You go, okay, I guess I'll do it. Let's hope he's going to leave these kids alone. Maybe his parents are the ones that called CPS because they're trying to say like some anonymous tipper came in. If that was the case, then Hillary Clinton's kids should have, one kid should have been taken away. Well, maybe we didn't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. Let's move on. Here's something that you did not know. Pete Buttigieg's mentor and best friend was sentenced to 30 years in prison for the possession of CP. Okay, let's listen to this guy who covered this.
Uh-oh, we all know Pete Buttigieg, and we know how he loves to mock mothers and parents and pretend that he's a chest feeder and all that weird stuff for clicks and follows and political whatever, and he's got a mental illness, I'm sure. But I did not know that his best friend and mentor is currently serving 30 years in prison for the possession and distribution of, well, you can read it there. That definitely makes things a little more interesting, I would believe, with the fact that he's got children. I don't know. Anybody else concerned with that?
Yeah, I'm concerned. I'm concerned because we're seeing, first of all, gay dudes who want to be gay and have a good time being gay and they're going to clubs and doing whatever they're doing. That's one thing. But when you're in that category and then you're like obsessed with kids, that's where we start to go, hey, maybe there's a reason that God burned down Sodom and Gomorrah. Huh? Maybe there's a reason that every religious institution has had a prescription against this kind of behavior and said, if you allow it, it's going to destroy your society and corrupt your children. I don't know. Maybe humans are humans and they haven't really changed much in the 6,000 or 100,000, depending on your worldview, years that they've been existing. And maybe these recorded transgressions and wisdom in holy books was based on human behavior that really, again, hasn't really changed and doesn't change according to environment. Maybe they knew something. Maybe they knew something. And maybe the people who push it aren't really interested in your well-being or your society's well-being. And we should have listened to our grandparents for the love of God. So why should we be concerned with the gays? They're just two men who love each other the way a woman and a man love each other. They would never subject their children to anything horrendous like maybe you would. You straight normie people with your perversions. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see how Seattle's doing. Let's check in on the epicenter of homoness and see how Seattle's doing with gay pride this month.
Pretty crazy. Full-blown nudity.
So, What kind of parent brings their kids to a homo pride parade? Can somebody tell me? I get it. You want to support people choosing, making their choice. But we've seen enough of these parades to know that there's nothing safe for children. Like, if some nudity came on screen, you would hopefully cover up your children's eyes, right? Or unless you're corrupting them from youth, and then God help us. Sometimes I would take the subway on that fateful day when they'd be having gay pride, and there would be parents with their kids. Of course, they were like, oh, this is my Asian husband, and I'm like a fat white woman, and we have a Mongolian child that we neither of us are really invested in, so who cares what they expose them to? And tons of white parents. I didn't really see black parents taking their kids to gay pride parades, but to be fair, I never really see them taking their kids anywhere except to jail. Okay, I'm done. The other thing is that these people are so fat and sloppy and disgusting. And they're just like, you know, they're just fat enough to be gross. You know what I mean? And it's like, and then their penises are all ugly looking. Their breasts are all ugly looking. It's like, look, I'm not saying it would be okay if they were all Adonises, but that would make sense. You'd be like, oh, you've worked really hard for your gay body and you want everybody to see it. You are a model of what a human can be. But what we see here is a model of what a human being can degenerate to, and their outer form is really looking like their inner spiritual condition. And some of you don't like it when I get all Christian on you. I don't care. Not a evangelical Protestant Christian. That's not my cup of tea. But the metaphysical aspect of what's happening in our world, the metaphysical spiritual reality of the warfare we're in, is undeniable. And you're talking to somebody who was pretty much agnostic, almost atheist, kind of, you know, God's like a feeling. He's like a feeling in the universe. And the way that it works is you meditate really hard on how famous and rich you want to become, and everybody loves you. And then the universe, God, gives it to you. And then you get more and more, and it's never enough. But what matters is you're better than everybody else. That's where I was going, because I was in New York doing New Age stupidity, where they bring in all the religions from the East, which are just sex cults for these Indian gurus to molest a bunch of white women under the pretense that they're so spiritually advanced, and that's why they have to molest you. The thing that brought me into it was the reality of how our world was speedrunning towards evil. And specifically when they started doing the gender bending, swapping of this man's a woman, this woman's a man, and everybody had to go along with it. And if you didn't, you were a bad person. And so I started to examine my moral point of view of moral relativism, because that's pretty much what I was in, that what was good was dependent on your situation in life, your level of knowledge, and your personal morality, like what made you happy. And like a typical shit lib female, I didn't stop to think through the consequences of that worldview, which is then that somebody could have a sense of morality that doing bad things to me was okay because it made them happy. Okay, maybe we drew the line at as long as you weren't hurting anybody else. How do you define when you are hurting somebody else? That's another problem we come to. How do we define when we are hurting somebody else? Because they always say they're not hurting anybody. But I tell you right now that every single one of those children who were subjected to this were hurt in several ways. First of all, their eyesight, these poor kids. Now they're being hurt also because their sense of morality is being impaired, because they see all the adults acting like degenerate morons, and they think that this is okay, and this could potentially lead them to a life of condemnation. And they are hurting anybody they are engaging in this behavior with, because God did not make us to be animals that are a slave to our appetites. And these people, you can see they are a slave to their appetites in every way, right? They are lustfully indulgent. They're indulgent. Everything that, every lustful impulse that I have, if I want to go to a swingers party and bang 50 dudes, it's okay. That's called indulging in every lustful impulse you have. And you will see that what happens is you want more and more and more and more and more until you completely destroy yourself and the people you are involved with. You can also see that they are gluttonous slobs. This guy right here in the middle looks like he likes to eat chocolate chip cookies and candy. And if you're a man who eats candy, you're gay. Men don't eat candy. They eat steak and they kill animals. And if they eat candy, they do it like men and they don't look like this. Okay? All right? You don't get to have a soft body as a man. You're supposed to be hard. You're supposed to be ready for war. At least our enemies are fat, gay, and retarded. You know what I'm saying? Back on track. So what led me down this perspective was realizing that the way the world was wrong. Which then led me to realize that I had been living in the world and according to its values, and I had done many, many things wrong. So it went from the outside to the inside, which is the true path of the Christian life, and it is hard to stay on that. Very easy to turn around and look at all this, say this is wrong. And when I found a Orthodox Christian church and went in there, it was the first time that I actually felt like there's the presence of something else here that I don't understand. And I had been through all the places. I went to Buddhist temples. I went to Hindu temples. I went to a mosque a couple of times, not by choice. I went to, I don't think I've ever been to a temple, synagogue. I don't think I've ever been to one of those, but I've been around them. So that's enough. Where else? I went to a lot of these things, chanting, the new age, the yoga, the meditation, the, you know, Bikram yoga, whatever, juice cleansing, all of it. This was the first experience I had that I was in the presence of something holy and it was not me. It was not me. That's when I said, I got to come back. And through coming back, I learned, oh, wait a second. There's a whole moral code here that was written. There's a whole way you're supposed to live your life. By the way, wouldn't it make sense that this way that worked thousands of years ago would also work today? Because like I said, humans have not really changed much in thousands of years in terms of what motivates them, what their behavior leads to. So I was shocked to learn that a whole moral, I don't know, way of living existed, that there was a manual to life. And then I felt upset that I had never been given it. And then I got prideful and thought, well, the only reason I did everything wrong was because I didn't know about the moral order. Now, that was a very generous interpretation of my life, because it's not like my parents didn't prescribe many of the same morals that were given to me through the church. I just ignored that to kind of excuse my own behavior. And then I had a nice, where God allows you to make a fool of yourself after baptism, by the way. And I then realized knowledge is not enough. Like 12-step meetings say, self-knowledge availed us nothing. The truth of the matter is we need the power of God in our lives to set us straight. On our own, we just can't do it. And maybe you can, shout out to you, but me, I couldn't. And so that was my journey. This is like a really quick synopsis. Maybe I'll do a deep dive into it at some point. This was just a short story for me to say that the whole reason that this is allowed to continue, that we think this is acceptable, that we can bring children to these kinds of events and not think anything of it, is because we threw away the manual to life, which for me is the Bible. And I've read some of the other things, not all of them. And it is by far the best one for me. But within in that manual, this is the other thing that people don't realize. It's not just like giving you the code to behave. It's giving you something, this really relevant piece of information of who humans are. And in that knowledge of who humans are, is the knowledge that they are something sacred, something that was created to become something sacred, because you can see, this is a complete demise of that, and that there is a particular value for them within God's created order. If you throw that away, if you say, oh, humans are nothing, we're like ants in the middle of a universe hurling through space, going nowhere, nothing means anything, everything's random and chance, what a nice Luciferian ideology to have, then any of the codes of behavior around protecting, let's say, children seem arbitrary and like a bonus, but not really necessary, right? And any of the codes of behavior around protecting yourself and your spiritual condition and moving towards what God created you to be, not who the devil keeps trying to make you into and where your own impulses will drag you down. Now you understand why you would do that. There is a reason. There is a like a gem of why you would do that. It's like you are a gem. These people, as hard as to believe, they were made to be gems. And they're turning themselves into demons. And I think that you do see the effects of people's lives on their physical manifestations. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to be like, everybody who's holy or good is going to be like this gorgeous model, and that every gorgeous, you know, if you do something horrible, you're all going to be hideous, because we see plenty of people in Hollywood who physically on the outside look good, but they're probably horrible. But there is something different. I mean, you feel it. You can feel it in the presence of godly people. I'll put it that way. There's a peace, there's a calm, and there is a inner radiance coming out. That's it. That's my little, this is why I think Christianity is important, is that it is a compass. And we threw away the compass, and we don't even know why we were following a direction in the first place. So that's where we're at. And let's remember to support our sponsor, AntelopeHillPublishing.com. Now, Antelope Hill Publishing has some of the best books that you're not going to find anywhere else on the internet. And you know what else? They sponsor someone like me, which is enough of a reason for you to go buy their books. Go buy their books. Stop going to Barnes & Noble. Here's a great book that actually is extremely exciting. I want to tell you guys a little bit about this. Let's make sure we get this up. There we go. It is called The Conquest of the State by a renowned Spanish nationalist whose name sounds Mexican, but that's only because the Mexicans were themselves conquered. What you may not know about this book is that the author was a prominent Spanish political activist, revolutionary, and a martyr. He ended up dying for the cause. He was extremely influential in the development of Spanish nationalism before the Civil War, and also in how it was expressed after Franco's government. Now, here's what's really exciting and why I think you guys would be really interested in this book. The book contains segments from his newspaper that he published in the lead up to the Spanish Civil War. It was called La Conquista del Estado. Thank you for my pronunciation of Spanish. The Conquest of the State. It was really advocating for radical solutions to the problems that were plaguing the national political landscape. So you might find some ideas in there that can help you understand what's going on here. And oftentimes, we have to learn from the past in order to understand the moment we're in now and where we might be going and what might be a good idea for that future. There's only so much I can say. But I think this book is going to be clutch for that time period. So I'd highly encourage you guys to get it. The other awesome thing about this is like reading real band material, is that he was only able to run his newspaper for a year before the state, and you know who that was in charge, shut it down. And we managed to get a collection of those writings and translate them into English. So please, for the love of God, go to Antelope Hill Publishing and use my promo code so I get credit for helping this publishing company that I love. This is another thing where it's like, why would people be concerned that Pete Buttigieg might be touching his kids? Oh, I don't know. Maybe because New Hampshire's first transgender elected rep, Stacey Lawton, was just sentenced to 33 years in prison for the exploitation of children. You know, it's like you can throw a stone into a pride parade and hit a offender, and then that should be enough information for you to understand what's going on. So this was the UK's first gay surrogate dad, Barry Druitt Barlow. Him and his husband, Scott, 32 years old, are both charged with the rape, essay, and trafficking of children. And they specifically sought out runway models to buy their eggs for surrogacy. Can you imagine those women? They probably don't care. They're probably strung out on heroin. Who knows? This is pretty gruesome. Okay, and then there was that story of the other couple who essayed that toddler to death, and then they went to the hospital and he's crying like he didn't know what he was doing. So yeah, I think we got to have a ban on adopting kids. I think there's got to be something done to deal with this, because here's the other part. CPS and all these child adoption agencies, they're run by lunatic lefties whose whole moral order has been inverted to align with Satan's moral order. And they actually perceive putting a child in like a gay, multiracial, trans, double amputee home, for example, as the ideal. That would be the ideal for them. And then when a nice, like, put together couple, especially a white couple, but even a put-together black couple like that seem conservative, come in and they want to adopt kids. And let's say those black people want to adopt a black kid. They're kind of like, oh, it's because it's like demons are running the thing. And they're like, no, we can't put this kid in this home because they'll actually have a good life and nothing bad will happen to them. And then they won't be traumatized. And then we can't do all the stuff we do to traumatize people. So yeah, maybe it's time to have that discussion now that Gay Pride Month is over. Maybe it's time that we start talking about, why do some dudes who are doing it in the butt and going to crazy parties and are obsessed with their orifices also want to have little children who can't do anything to defend themselves? And usually they want little children of the same sex. Why? Maybe we could let go of our brainwashed, zogged out propaganda minds that can no longer perceive reality and are so afraid of being called a racist, a homophobe, an anti-Semite, a sexist, a misogynist, that we ignore the truth at the expense of our own well-being and the well-being of those we love. Maybe it's time for the white man to find his courage. And some of you based blacks too. I mean, the blacks don't really have a problem calling it out because they don't have the double bind. Although the blacks have been totally mind too. That's why they're all gay now. They're all gay gangsters. How do you like that? And it's interesting because every few months or a year, there's a new group that comes out and trumps the most victim group, right? And for a long time, we really didn't have a group that could trump the trans, right? Because at first, it was like the women, they're oppressed, they're having a hard time. So that was the first group. And then it was the gays. Oh, the gays, they're having a hard time, right? Somewhere in there, we got the blacks. The blacks are having a hard time. And then it was the trans. And the trans just, they were sitting at the top for a long time. And then people really started to get sick of having to figure out whether there was going to be a homo in a dress in the girls' bathroom when their little girl was in there. And they started to turn on them. But still, amongst the left, the trans, and if you were black and trans, like, forget it. Nobody was trumping you. But then our overlords went and crossed the line and bombed a bunch of kids in Gaza. That's right. And the people were like, well, the brown kids getting bombed by people that we're going to perceive as white colonialists, even though we all know they're not white. I think that trumps the trans. And now it's come full snake eating its own tail, because old Scott Wiener, if you don't know who he is, let's pull up a picture here. Old Scott Wiener, what is he known for? What is old Scott Wiener known for? What do you guys think? What does this guy look like he is known for? Huh? Yeah, he is a gay dude who passed a law that decriminalized gay men having sex with children. Well, it said underage boys, like boys, I think as young as 16 or maybe less than that. But he passed a law that decriminalized that. Gee, a homosexual Jewish man who passed a law to make it okay for grown homosexual men to have relations with underage boys. Who could have thought? And you'd have thought that he would have been the all-star amongst the left. But see, old Scott Wiener's got another loyalty, and that is to Israel. And so the left was like, yeah, we don't care about all the things you did that we like. You did this one thing we don't like, and we're going to kick you out. And I'm not going to sit here and say I feel bad about it. No. I hope the left completely consumes itself with their purity spiraling. This is why I tell the right not to do this, because it's the same thing. Okay, I hope they consume and destroy themselves until there's no one left but a single, you know, triple amputee. Maybe there's just a stump of a person left who's had so many oppressions, they're just a stump. And that's the last person left on the left. And then we could put them in like a little island and say, have fun. We're not going to do anything to you. Life has done enough. But now we actually get to have a society, hopefully. So this guy posted about it, was amazing. Didn't even understand the irony. He didn't even understand, like, look, you can see how many comments to likes it has as people are talking about. He truly did not understand the irony of what he was saying here. But he said, Scott Wiener showed up to the trans march, and for the first time, we kicked his ass out. It's sad. We don't really care. Because while he's written some good legislation for queers, he's ultimately a genocidal supporting center-right shill. Trigger warning, broken man walking away defeated. Vote Connie.
Your legislation on trans issues and your legislation specifically protecting queers on the sex offender registry is fantastic. Like, I really applaud you for that, and I think you deserve to be here for that. But I think your housing policy, and specifically your housing policy aligning with YIMBYs, and I think your policy, and I think your policy on the genocide in Gaza, and I think your policy on the genocide in Gaza, it's terrible. I think you do not belong here. I think you do not belong here. You do not belong here, Scott, anymore. It sucks because you've been wonderful. You've been wonderful for trans people, and you've been terrible. And you've been terrible. You've been terrible. You've been terrible on Gaza. You do not belong here anymore, Scott, and it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that someone who wrote good legislation for queers is so terrible on Gaza. Scott, do you have anything to say? Do you have anything to say about Gaza? How could you do this to San Francisco? How could someone like you do this to San Francisco? Scott, say something.
Redeem yourself. Do something. God, I want, to like the person who had such good legislation on trans rights.
You're a piece of shit.
Scott, I want to support someone who's so positive on trans rights, but you're a piece of shit on Gaza. How could you do that? How could you betray queers? How could you oppress people?
Oh boy, I had to let that play because that just got better and better, man. I like how the guy started out like being so nice. We love, you know, we love what you did. And then he heard the other people like starting to go after him. And he's like, but we hate you, right? Oh, I think we hate you, but I don't want to hate you. Oh man. This must have been like what it was like when the commies started turning on their leaders. Like, remember Yagoda, what's his name? Yagoda something. This is a big commie. He was a big commie killer. Genrich Yagoda killed, I think it was like over a million people. It's definitely over a million people. And then the new wave of commies thought he wasn't radical enough and they killed him. And I wonder if when they were stabbing and dismembering him, they were like, Genrich, we don't want to do this to you. We love all the Christians that you murdered in all the streets and all the bourgeoisie. You did so much, but Genrich, you won't let us kill the upper class of Bolsheviks who are landowners and Jews. We must kill you, Genrich. We're so sorry, Genrich. I don't want to do this. I wonder if that's kind of how it went down, because that was pretty epic. I love how he's like, he's like pleading with him. Please don't make us turn on you. Please say something. Say something where we can love you again, Scott Wiener, gay man who's done so much for trans rights. I have to say, there is a deep feeling of satisfaction to see him surrounded by the Gollum brown mess he created that has turned on him. This is just really, George, let's really get this image. This is really, I mean, what a better picture of America, huh? You got your ruling class. You are the ruling class. And you had to do it by bringing in hordes of Mayan Aztec child sacrificers who had no problem ripping out people's hearts. And now they think you're not radical enough. They see you as a white man. And only the white man knows you're not a white man, but you were so upset about that that you tried to blend in. And you can't convince the undifferentiated hordes of the third world that you are not one of the evil whites. Because eventually they're going to see that you are actually far, far worse. I wonder if he was like making a list. He's like, ah, God, I was told we would have camps by this point. Why didn't we put these people in there? I wonder if he was making that list or if he was gay ass, was just trying to get out before he got stabbed by a crazy Latina who has gotten molested so many times she finally cut her hair and thinks that maybe that'll do it. We live for little things like this, guys. We live for things like this. Moments like this make everything okay. And so we'll end the episode about Pride with a New York Times article on Father's Day that's dedicated to a transgender dad, because of course it would. Of course it would. Of course, the New York Times cannot celebrate Father's Day, right? Because they hate masculine men. And so the blacks, for the majority, aren't going to be celebrating Father's Day. And the ones that are, the New York Times hates them too. And the whites that are going to celebrate Father's Day, the New York Times hates them. But if we can find a mind-raped Zog white man slave who has been so destroyed by his consumption of pornography that now he only gets turned on at the thought of himself as a woman. And one of these days, he's really going to commit and go the next level and turn himself into a eunuch. But for now, he gets to just destroy his children by being a bearded man in a dress and insisting that it's normal and everyone around him must do the same. So if the New York Times is going to write an article about Father's Day, by God, it's going to be about this man. And so there's the title. To my daughter, my gender was never complicated. Out on Father's Day last month. And then they show cartoons, right? And they have to use children, cartoons and the children, because the real children are completely scarred, broken, and confused, and have an anger that's not going to show itself until they're in their teenage years, where they will either develop a crippling alcohol addiction, sex addiction, or eating disorder. Pick your choice, my friends, because their father is not strong enough to be a man in this society that hates them. And of course, even in the cartoon, the child is carefree, having fun with their multiracial, multi-ethnic clan that eventually is going to grow up and want to do to them what they're doing in South Africa. But not for now. For now, they're having a good time. So you see, the cartoon says, "How long did you have breasts for, Dad?" And here, surprisingly, we have a brown person not being very PC, saying, "You can't grow a beard. You're a girl." But my dad did, and he was a girl. Did you die? Is that what happened? He was a girl? Okay. Shout out to the New York Times for continuing to show us why the things that happened in Germany happened one day, just out of nowhere, out of nowhere. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you, folks. Good night.